Unlike other webcomic podcasts, the Webcomic Beacon has girls. And now, Fess and Tanya.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Webcomic Beacon. I am Fess.
And I'm Tanya.
And this week our topic of the show is we don't have a topic. So it's essentially it's essentially open forum tonight, and we are going to be talking a little bit about potential nominations for the Web Cartoonist's Choice Awards, and also we're going to be having Mrs. Coulter from Comic Genesis, the Comic Genesis forums, and the IRC to talk about the Comic Genesis cookout this year. And all right, right now I made a little post on the forums to get on Skype. If obviously, if you're listening to this, that time has passed. But once in a while, we may throw a little post up saying, like, if you want to get involved, we can do maybe a live call-in. Basically, you'll just send a little message to Fessworks, F-E-S-Works, on Skype, and post what you want to talk about, and when it's available, or if we have time, or if it's at a good moment, we could invite you to the conference and get a live call in the air. And if you're really rude and vulgar, well, I'm a good editor, so I'll just cut it out.
But, I was a little worried there.
Yeah, right now I'm going to try to start a conference call. Oh, no, not with that person. There we go. Let's see here.
Hello.
Hello, is Mrs. Coulter there?
Yes, this is her.
Hello, this is Fess, and I'm here with Tanya Higgins.
Hi.
Okay. Hi.
Welcome to the Webcomic Beacon, episode 7.
All right, thank you.
We're here with Mrs. Coulter, and do you have like your do you have a main?
What
website?
Would you like to be called?
Yeah.
Beth.
All right, Beth. We're having you on the show tonight to talk about something called the Comic Genesis Cookout. Can you tell us what that is?
It's basically a... the phone just dropped on me. I'm kind of updated and don't have an extra table to spare. It's actually mostly Comic Genesis and some clone stalkers for my getting together to socialize at a cookout. It started about 5 years ago, and I have to kind of socialize, and it's grown dramatically in the last 5 years.
How many people showed up for the first one?
The first one was 9 people. It was 9 people just at our house to have a cookout, just to hang out, talk shop, and just socialize.
And last year, how many people showed up to last year's?
50.
50 people. And
yes.
How far have a lot of people traveled in order to come to this?
The furthest one last year was Denmark.
Denmark?
Wow.
Who was that?
Hogan.
Oh, yeah, Hogan, yeah.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes. Very nice person.
Yeah, he's in charge of, for those who don't know, Hogan is in charge of the Webcomics Cameo and Crossover Archive, which keeps tabs on, webcomic crossovers and cameos. And so it's a fairly, just, it's not really a convention. It's
not a convention. It's mostly a bunch of people getting together to hang out. It actually officially starts on a Saturday, but people have been known to show up on Wednesday for the, what I call, pregame, just to hang out, tourists, and just do odd things around St. Louis.
So. Is this exclusively of the Comic Genesis community and the Cornstalkers, or...?
No, anybody that's interested in webcomics that's willing to go on the website, register, and everything. It has a list of what you have to do to get into the cookout and everything.
Okay.
But it's not exclusive.
Okay, and that website is cookout.comicgenesis.com.
Yes. And the website this year has been designed by Fadi Nora, which I think she did a phenomenal job.
It looks really nice, yeah.
I'm looking at some of the pictures in the background of the header. It just looks, it does look like a fun time, and I like the three grills that are completely ablaze. That's hilarious.
It's fun. It's nonstop. I mean, last year there was a couple nights where I got 2-3 hours of sleep.
Oh boy. And this is how many nights is this?
It depends. Everybody booked in the hotel has to be in the hotel Thursday. You know, some of them show up Thursday, some of them show up Friday. I had a couple who came in Saturday morning. But, yeah, everybody, the hotel is officially open to guests on Thursday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is June 5th to 8th.
Yes. Give me just 1 second. Let me double check the date, Tanya.
I'm looking at the site right now, so.
Yes.
And the cost per person is $35 to cover, you know, all the supplies, food, etc., I'm sure.
Well, previously we had it at our own personal residence, and it just, we grilled the hamburgers, we bought the sodas, and it's just gotten so big that with year three, we spent a lot of time growing burgers and everything, and we're going like, this is getting too much for us, so we had to book a hotel and get catering. And the fee is going to the caterer, buying the sodas, you know, the gas to and from, taking people around. This is not a profit-driven event. I mean, I think we barely broke even last year.
And basically it stayed in the same city, St. Louis?
Yes, same city, St. Louis.
Okay. And just to go over a little bit of information on here, if you book in time, essentially, under Coulter Family Reunion, it's $75 a night at...
Yes.
Which hotel is it?
The Airport Plaza Hotel is a Best Western.
Okay. And let's see here. Registration fee needs a refund, I guess, cut off is May 1st. When is the registration deadline, though?
The registration with the site is going to be done by the 18th.
By the 18th?
Yeah, May 18th.
May 18th, okay.
All right.
Hotel reservation cutoff for the discounted rate is May 5th.
After that, it goes to the room rate that it normally is, and I would suggest everybody to get the cheaper rate because the rooms usually... probably $120 a night if you don't get the... Yeah, we negotiated a very good deal.
Well, I can certainly say that I'm interested, but I can't guarantee that I can be there with a big road trip I'm planning this summer already. But, you know, if I can, I'd be certainly interested to come down and meet with a bunch of, you know, webcomic artists and creators and just, you know, have some fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, we also have a donation fund that we set up a few years ago that if people who really want to come can get the time off, they can put their name basically in a donation fund hat, and we try to raise money to get them over here.
Is that how Hogan came over here from Denmark, or?
Actually, Hogan came over here on his own.
Oh, wow.
We raised, I think Cookout 3, we raised about $2,000 to fly in the comic gimmick format named Mo from Norway.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. That's a good community right there, you know, helping people get together and has a good time. And, as we have a regular, we don't really have much planned, but we, you know, can't devote all the time for this. But thank you, Beth, for coming on the show with us and talking to us about the St. Louis
Comic
Genesis
Cookout. Thank you. It sounds like
fun.
All right. Well, thank you guys, and you have a wonderful evening.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Once again, that's the St. Louis Comic Genesis Cookout, number 5, from June 5th to 8th. Registration is $35 per person. Should have your registration through the site by May 18th. Reservations are $75 a night at the Best Western Airport Plaza Inn, and you should get that in by...
May 5th.
And if you need a refund, May 1st is the latest. Check it out, cookout.comicgenesis.com. And everyone I've talked to has had fun at it, and I say it's worth checking out. It sounds like a really cool deal.
Yeah, it's nice to, you know, be able to meet people face-to-face that you've been, you know, you've only been associated with online, especially when everybody's, you know, in that creative field. It's nice to bounce things. Yeah.
Plus, it's St. Louis, you know, you get to see other stuff as well. And
St. Louis is good.
So, let's see, right now, let's, hang on. Do you know anyone that's online that we could get on the show for, like, just a second or just talk about nothing?
Like, currently? Well, here's, let me go see.
I wonder how other webcomic podcasts do their show. I've listened to... There's Webcomics Weekly, which is just... I can't really remember if they go over topics, if they just talk about what happened this week or what's going on. I never pay attention enough. It's because it just turns up. Maybe they start with something, and then by the end of it, it's just kind of gone everywhere.
I listen to GigCast.
I listen to GigCast as well.
Go over news and current events. I listen when it shows up, the Penny Arcade podcast. But that's mostly game news and them creating a comic.
Which one is that?
The Penny Arcade.
Oh,
podcast?
I never listened to that one.
Oh, but they're funny.
There's supposed to be another one with I forget who. I know Aggie's on it, or Gothia, however you call her, of American Gothic Daily. Slurring my words here. I know she's on one. I was talking to her about something. Next week, I know we're going to be having... I don't know how to pronounce his screen name. Drowimonas or something like that. Drow was looking to get on our show and do an impromptu webcomic brainstorming session, which he hopes to turn into a sort of podcast. I figured this idea was interesting. And maybe a little bit leg up to get some, because, I mean, we're not, like, the biggest show out there, but we do get enough listeners on here than someone just starting out, maybe. And it sounds just interesting enough, and so he's going to round up some people from this other podcast. I can't really remember what it is. And I'm terrible. And we're probably going to have, like, some sort of, like, brainstorming session next week, and we'll see how that goes. And, you know, if response is good, they'll probably set up a new podcast for it, like, you know, brainstorm session or something like that. I don't know entirely the details, but it should be interesting nonetheless.
It sounds like an interesting concept. Yeah.
So that'll be next week. And, you know, there's a lot of different things we can approach for a topical webcomic podcast like ourselves. Well, I don't really like calling ourselves a podcast. I don't know if anybody's gathered that so far.
But it's a webcast. Webcast is non-brand associative.
I've always said netcast for audio and webcast for video, but I know it's splitting hairs, semantics, and crap. I don't like saying podcast because I hate iTunes.
Do you?
I hate it. I don't like having to load an extra program on my computer. Just to look at stuff. And then there's DRM and all that crap. It's like, I can do all this without a program sorting it all for me, you know?
My partner has issues with it, too. I don't care. Yeah. I like it. I don't care.
I know Diana uses iTunes a lot, too, but...
I do.
I purposely unloaded it off of my computer. And I was like,
really?
That's why I had to have you add the Webcomic Beacon to the list, because I don't have,
that's
apparently
right.
To even browse it, you have to like load the program on your computer. It's like, I don't want some other program having access to the type of files I have on my computer.
We want you to be one of us, Fez.
No.
Yeah, I understand. It is kind of a pain that you can't do anything. Yeah. You can't get around it, either.
What are you talking about? I have. I don't use it. I get around it by going through somebody else who has it. Some sucker like you.
I mean, do you have an iPod?
No. I have an MP3 player. I don't feel the need to pay for a name.
I do.
You can get something for much cheaper. But I'll do the same thing.
It was an anniversary gift.
Well, that's fine, because you got it as a gift. I mean... Yeah.
I did not go out and become an Apple whore all on my own.
No,
I was helped.
You've had help. You had a gateway.
That's right. I had a pimp.
Yeah, you had a pusher.
Now we're going to be sued.
We can't be sued for voicing our opinion.
Well,
can we?
But
oh, hang on one second. I'm seem to be getting a message.
You mean we might actually have a program?
Hang on. Let me get him.
Mr. Fizz.
Hello.
This Hello. Is,
what do you go by?
Hey, you two. T-Bowl, Aaron, I guess.
All right. Well, since you give us your real name, we're going to call you by your real name. So there. Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the Webcomic Beacon.
Hi.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going well.
It's
basically open forum tonight. We just talked a little bit about the Comic Genesis cookout. But what's on your mind?
Well, the what's it called that's popping up here that everyone's voting for. Really excited about that. But it's been really confusing because there's so many comics and there hasn't been a lot of representation.
Oh, the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of stress on a lot of people because it's so hard when you really start thinking about it, how many comics there actually is.
Certainly.
I know that for a couple of the categories, I've got, more than my allotted three, and I'm having difficulty sort of crossing out ones. I go back and forth, depending on what day it is, over which is the best. Right. So it can be a little confusing. You know, you brought up an interesting point with me earlier, Aaron, that there should be different I think it was you. There should be different classifications for daily comics versus weekly comics. Was that you?
No, it sounds like something that Evil Couch would come up with, but
that's a distinct possibility.
No, my biggest thing though too is I came up with five or six for some of them, and then none for others.
Which ones are you having problems with?
Yeah.
Let me pull it up and just take me a second.
I'm always mostly excited for the outstanding newcomer because that has to change every single year, no matter what.
Yeah.
So many. I wanted the list for that too.
So,
but then
Fez,
how do you know they're
you?
Even gonna? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. Fez, who were you going to nominate for Outstanding Newcomer?
You know what?
Do you know?
Actually, I really don't know. I see, the thing is, I'd have to go back. Again, I still haven't checked anything. But I'd have to go back through all my comics, all the comics that I currently read, and I'd have to double check to see which ones did start within a year. Because I just kind of lost track.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there were a couple that I had written down that I had to go back and take off because they've been around longer than a year. Like Looking for Group started November of last year, and I didn't know that. So, or of 2006. So, took that one off.
I could nominate. I was just thinking about this Cameo comic and the Evil Overlords United comic, the front runners for the crossover wars. Potentially could be nominated. I'd probably nominate them for something.
Well, there you go.
They started. I think they all started in January. 2007.
Perfect.
I didn't even think about that. Wow. Have you watched the Crossover Wars at all, Aaron?
No.
That's fine. I'm sure a lot of people haven't. But anyway, what are the ones that you're having trouble finding to fit the category?
Well, we'll start off with what you just brought up, which you're talking about Outstanding Newcomer. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think to check to make sure that they were actually... But the one that stood out to me the most, and I just loved it, was Wayward Robot.
Ah, yeah.
I love that comic.
I have to check that one out.
Yeah, I liked it.
It just stands out. And you know how hard it is to stand out in a robot comic? I mean, come on. That was like the first total bashing that he got. It's like, okay, so your comic looks like Bender and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yeah, but mine's cool too. And everyone's like, yeah, it is cool.
Yeah, actually, it does stand out. It is pretty good.
It doesn't look like Bender at all. What are people talking about?
They're crazy.
I can't remember, but Bender was definitely brought into the picture.
Maybe
at
he
some
changed
point.
It since.
But if you go through his archives, there's some really awesome things that stand out, and it's like, where did that come from?
Yeah, there are a lot of random elements to the comic that makes it unique.
Yes.
Wait, I'm looking at it right now. It's okay, there's something there. I was like looking at this, like, it's a picture cropping, like single panel stuff. It looks like just a bunch of art so far.
Well, the one where he got the most critical acclaim was he's got this one, it's a fishing picture, and it just blew everybody away.
I must have missed that one.
It's kind of in the middle of the archive.
All right, well, I won't look through that, but I'll check it out. I'll check it out later. I won't look through it on the show.
Okay.
Let's see, what other... I had to click. Where is it? There we go. Outstanding comic. I guess that one's like the hardest one to really figure out.
Yeah.
And it just comes down to, obviously, very, very subjective topic, comic. Because out of 10,000, and I'm guessing at least 3,000 don't exist anymore. Or, like, stopped updating. Like,
yeah.
They started and ended, but...
The only one that I've actually figured out for outstanding comic is Least I Could Do. And I think I nominated him last year, too. Which is probably cheating. It's just that, you know, overall, it's great artwork and good writing, and they very rarely post something that I don't want to read. So beyond that, I'm kind of stumped.
Yeah, I mean, I can only, like, the best comic that you only can really... a lot of these, you really can only truly vote if you really read enough of the comic. You shouldn't just... I mean, you can get ideas from other people, and unless you check the whole thing out, I don't think you should make a decision to nominate it or not within a few things. It's like, you know, I know that I'll probably, for Outstanding Comic, nominate Dr. McNinja.
Yeah.
Because that is just a brilliant comic, in my opinion. But,
which I still haven't read.
But, of course, that's one that nobody's going to have a short list to nominate for. And, Aaron, you're saying... I want to know which ones that you're having trouble with.
Okay, well, Outstanding Comic was one of them. I got Chip Shop on there because I love his comic, and it never disappoints. And got to have Goblins on there, right?
I had it somewhere else, but yeah.
But other than that, it's like, okay, outstanding artist. Well, that's difficult because it depends on what you think art is, but I have Codename Hunter on there, but he hasn't updated in months, but he's going to update again.
Outstanding artist. There we go.
No. I have him for... Oh, what is it? I have him for outstanding comedic writing. No.
Oh, there you go.
No, where is it? Oh, outstanding character rendering. He's my number one. No. Have you seen pictures of the guy? Oh, it's... And then his comic
looks
just like him. It's awesome.
He actually does have a Fu Manchu.
He does. It's hot.
It's really cool. So, outstanding character rendering. World's worst web comic, so...
Nice.
If anything else wins, I don't know what happened.
Actually, under Outstanding Artist, I have, I'm going to butcher his name, Mark something or other of The Thinking Ape Blues. And I also have him for Black and White comic, too.
Oh, for Black and White, I have Picatrix. I don't know if anyone's ever followed that one.
I have no idea.
She had to redo her comics at one point, but it was really cool. I don't know.
So what other ones are you having troubles with?
Oh, well... Outstanding use of color, because everything's like Photoshopped.
And it's so either color or it's not.
Well, right, and so like I put Codename Hunter on there because he's like the only dude I know that uses those funky markers to color his stuff. I guess I could have put Poherex on there too because he does all his stuff in colored pencil. But it was a hard one because it's like, okay, outstanding use of color. It's like, how well can they shade in Photoshop?
I think that'd be almost use of the medium if Photoshop effects are very apparent.
Yeah, that would be use of the medium. For color, I put minus. Those are all watercolored. That's all watercolor art. And Lords of Death and Life, he uses those little markers.
I love the watercolor look.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, totally.
It's beautiful.
That's how Calvin and Hobbes Sunday stuff was done.
Yeah.
In watercolor.
Oh.
Yeah. And the whole point of mine is that it's supposed to look like an old kind of 30s, 40s cartoon. And, you know, she does an excellent job. It's beautiful. So
What won color last year? Was it copper?
You know, I think it was. And
because they had like a sepia type of thing going. Yep, it was copper.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking copper. I'm thinking of the wrong one, am I?
Yeah, because it's not sepia toned. It's full color.
What
but,
am I thinking of? I'm thinking of that furry comic.
Oh, the with the cat. Yeah, that one.
I would have nominated that one for color as well, just because it's VG Cats. I wouldn't have nominated that for color.
Well, it is colored.
It is colored. I'll give it that.
You know, and I do understand. You know, I'm not going to. Obviously, I use Photoshop to color. I'm not going to dog anybody for doing it. But
well, you do something to make vectors or something like that, don't you?
Well, that's
use of the medium.
You know what? Use of the medium, I think, has to do with. I look at it differently. Like I'm going to nominate dang, now I can't remember what it's called. Flatwood. For use.
Hello?
Oh,
the medium.
Oh. No, she's just hissing, I guess.
I'm hissing?
I don't know. It just kind of like.
Like a cat?
For
a I was going to nominate Flatwood, which I'd say 60% of the comics sort of develop before your eyes. You click on the link, and as it opens, the panels either move or come through, or the wording will appear as you read. And that's
Flatwood.
Something you can't do in print. Flatwood. Nobody's ever heard of Flatwood.
It sounds kind of like Lizzie, almost.
You know, I don't read Lizzie. I don't. Let me see here.
Lizzie is, I have some issues with some of how the characters are drawn. They're kind of... Like, he draws them without thinking about the proportions or something like that. But it's basically like a comic book style... but like various like aspects, characters or objects are separate and they'll move along or there'll be some like cloud effect or something like that.
Okay,
but you click on a panel and then it'll animate for you essentially, or like kind of like a minimalist animation, like waddle a cutout character or zoom out a bit. I mean it's different,
yeah.
But I have, is that kind of, I'm at the latest.
See, that would be outstanding use of the medium.
Yeah.
Flatwood, by the way, is flatwoodcomic.com.
Yeah, I'm there right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
See
animated.
How the words? Yeah, in bits. And
is it a GIF?
You know, I think it's...
It is. It is.
Yeah, it is. It's a GIF. My favorite, one of my favorite uses for the way he does the comic is every once in a while there will be a scene that seems somewhat tranquil, and then right when you're just about done reading it, like, eyes will appear in the background or some sort of spooky
it's
element.
It's not like one of those things where just, like, suddenly it's like, you watch this, it's like, you have, it's quiet, then suddenly it's a screaming old lady.
No. He does it for good effect, I promise. Yeah. It's more
to...
Those are. I mean, it's like you're like half angry that it's one of these things. Then you're also like half angry because you fell for it.
Because they're like stare really close and you can see something in the background. No,
the worst one was like a flash. It was like about like it was like this tranquil little song. It was like la da da. It's like why did you want it?
Yeah.
Oh shit! I gotta.
Way to go!
I gotta bleep that now.
I was wondering if I was going to be the first one this time, but it was luckily not me.
I think it's a miracle it hasn't been me. I curse like a freaking sailor, except for when I'm on the program. You mess up. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wasn't me. It was you.
That's what happens when you got an impromptu open forum show.
It's like Diane Keaton dropping the F-bomb on the Today Show. Way to go.
Nice.
Okay, we're going to take a quick little break right here, and... we'll continue where we left off when we come back. The Webcomic Beacon is proud to be an affiliate of The Geek Media. TheGeekMedia.com has a number of geek-related websites, podcasts, and blogs for you to check out. Check out TheGeekMedia.com.
Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net. Free hosting for free thinkers.
We should mention Aaron is from TWOLcomic.com, which is
the best of what's left.
I was looking for the link, but it's called The Best of What's Left. I haven't read it, honestly. But I have to say that after I started the crossover wars with PSI and everything, I have barely started any new comics, reading any new comics since March of 2007.
Yeah.
Just so busy. And I got to get back on this. I got like a folder of things to start to look at, which I have barely touched, because I always read from the beginning of the archives.
Haven't gone.
I'm one of those read backwards guys, you know, that we talked about a long time ago. No, I've read your comics before, Fez. I'm just not like totally into them. You know what I mean?
Well, I totally understand that. I mean, I started PSI with "This is just for me." If anybody else likes it, whatever. It's really much. I understand a lot of it sucks, but hey, whatever.
One of the things that would be cool is if you had the exact links to every single place that's ever. Jenny or Jenny Everywhere stuff.
Oh, you're talking about the Jenny Everywhere comic I did?
Yeah.
Or that I kind of stopped doing?
Well, because, one time, I tried to go back and look because you had one on Dark Red, and I had no idea which episode it was.
Yeah. I totally approached that wrong, and I forgot who I was talking to on the Comic Genesis IRC. thing, but he went through it and he basically told me that the pacing is way too quick and some of it was redundant and it's just annoying to click out to everybody else's page. But that was kind of like that was the intent of the comic. It was I did it intentionally to go along with the crossover wars and she was supposed to be shifting to other people's comics.
Right. Oh, and I totally got it, and that's what I loved about it. But, see, when I think of crossover wars, I think of Jenny Everywhere. And when I think of Jenny Everywhere, I always think that the link thing could have worked slightly better.
Well, see, the thing is, what I'm doing with PSI right now is, I mean, when I started it, it was always meant to be designed to handle crossovers and cameos, because I basically made it for that, you know, if I could ever,
right.
But I went through and I'm redoing my archives right now, and instead of linking out to pages, I am making entire pages that have internal frames that will link to the said page, so people don't have to leave the site, they can just click there, and if it's going to be too complicated as far as a backstory to what's happening with the other comic, I'll type it in there, so people who don't really want to get involved too much with the other comic, or just don't like crossovers, will have a you'll know this is all you really need to know if you don't want to go any further type of explanation. I'm going to redo that for that Jenny Everywhere comic as well.
So cool.
I'm going to link them out with internal frames, and I think that'd make a lot of crossovers a lot smoother.
Yeah.
In general, I think. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd still need to finish that comic, and I just kind of got to the point where I was doing a comic a day. I was doing Ardra, I was doing PSI, I was doing Jenny Everywhere. And it's like, I just burned out, and I didn't even like update any of them for like 3 months. And then an important character, I was supposed to, I might as well just announce this to anybody who's talking, and also you seem to follow it. Max Catnap was supposed to meet Jenny Everywhere again,
mm-hmm.
but that storyline had kind of faltered because I got behind and they thought of something else where that'd be more appropriate for him to happen to him, which is still going on. Max Catnap is the Mortician's character. He developed them specifically for the crossover wars, and we made it like he came from like this old webcomic from like back in the 90s or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mort drew up all the old sketches, and I designed the GeoCities website for it. And actually, there are few people really did fall for it, that it really was an old comic.
That's cool.
Nice.
It was crazy. It's like, he was like, well, some people is like, oh, I know who did it. You know, it's like it's Mort or whatever. I even set up the email. I tried to see if anybody might send an email to it, but. But it was really cool, but there's different plans for him, so I had to change the whole ending of Jenny Everywhere. Well, not the whole ending, just I mean, I already have like the two main goals that I have to do yet, and it's going to be tricky. And I probably shouldn't reveal too much, but I really hope I can get it done soon. I think there's only maybe 10 strips left, if that. So.
Oh, that's not bad. It's not insurmountable.
No, it's just, you know, but enough about me.
Oh, well, that's you were talking a lot about basically guest comics, because in some form or fashion, it's like guest comics, and that was another thing I've sort of been talking to Tanya about, is how hard it is to get somebody to kind of showcase your guest comics in some kind of respectable fashion, because I think some people don't realize how cool it is to get one coming from someone that barely ever gets any, and I know a lot of people barely ever get any, and then when you finally do one for somebody, and oh, it gets on the back of a forum somewhere, you know, and they don't even host it, you have to host it, or whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
So, yeah, let's make this the new topic for right now, guest comics. Now, are you talking about when you, like, go somewhere, like, say, I know that it happens in the webcomic list forums a lot, where, hey, I'm going on a hiatus, anybody want to make a guest comic?
Yes, that's exactly, yes.
And you're not talking, and you're just talking about they make it all themselves, or you're talking about something that would actually be, like, you write it and they draw it, or...
No. Like, have you never done a guest comic before, Fez?
No, I have. It's just, Jason on Archer Comic, he has some that where he's gotten guest artists, I guess.
I did, yeah. Yeah, actually, I did a full comic for Jason where I did the writing and the art, but he also had some where he sent them a script and then they did the artwork.
That'd be fun too.
Yeah, it's easier. Frankly.
Oh, yeah.
I did a guest comic.
Why did you do
PSI
that?
Too. Because I was busy.
Yeah, right.
There were so many. I think I remember seeing your post. Hang on, I gotta... Yeah. I used to have a little thing that says, do guest comics for, and I think I deleted it, because I was like, I'll never remember that.
Yeah, I did a little while ago. I put up a post and I said, you know, I need to take a month off because I've got so many things to do. I'm falling behind. And rather than continuing to suck, which I had been for a couple of months, you know, if I could get a few guest comics to kind of fill out that month, that would be great. And I actually got more than I needed. And Aaron was kind enough to submit two guest comics. And I've got one in reserve for when I have to leave for a convention or something. So, but I know what you're saying, Aaron, where some people do not have the etiquette, where, you know, someone's gone out of their way to do a guest comic for you, and they sort of slap it on a back page somewhere where it's never found again. And it's kind of like disregarding a favor. It's bad in etiquette. It's, yeah.
Well, I can... Are we talking if it was solicited thing where
yes.
you made a post and you asked
yes.
for it?
Yeah, solicited.
And then you're talking about people that will get it after they ask for them and they really don't post it.
Yeah, for example, they go, "We want one, right?" And so 10 people give them one, and then the rest of them never even see the light of day.
Well, did they at least post them somewhere?
Like, yeah, but it could end up in the back of a forum somewhere where
sometimes.
Nobody.
Yeah. I would always put, like, a guest strip up. Well, okay, wait. I did get one really disturbing art. I've only told a few people of what it is, but I think it was just to get a rise out of me or something, but...
That's messed up.
Well, now you have to tell.
It was. It was really...
That sounds more like harassment or
no,
some
no, no.
Kind
but
of...
they emailed it to me. They posted it on the chat box, and it was marked as spam by the chat box itself. But
nice.
but I got it, and they were nice about it. And I figured, okay, I'm not going to egg them on. I mean, if they were really sincere. Whenever I get emails, I always take it as if they're actually, you know, being sincere. This is really them, and so I'll do it as that before I try anything else. And it was very inappropriate, X-rated, and a little gay. I'll say,
nice.
But not. It wasn't that terrible as what you may be thinking, but it was very. I felt it was very inappropriate and something that the character would never do. And it was just kind of creepy looking already.
Well, you do have. I mean, it's a PG site. There was one instance of like nudity.
Yeah, and actually, I went back and I did cover that up.
So there was.
And it was kind of a really. I did go back and cover it up just so I can just be confident saying I'm Web 14.
Right.
But it was also kind of a cruddy, poorly drawn, and I, you know. But the thing was, I replied nicely. I said, I thank you for, your attention. You know, I don't remember exactly how I said it, but, politely said, and it's not something I'd want to show on my site, and it's not really something the character would do, but thank you just the same. But, sorry.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear anything back, so I think it was just someone kind of trying to egg me on, and it didn't work. And if they're being sincere, maybe if it was really all sincere, and maybe they just, respected my wishes, and it worked out. But that's like the only ever time I got something unsolicited that was really bad, and I don't think, yeah. But I don't. I've gotten a few guest strips or single panel art things, and they're pretty cool. But for PSI coming up in maybe a month or so. Well, one thing when I started PSI, there's a couple of things I said I'll never do, and a couple of them I kind of warped a little bit to allow. But one thing I always said I'll never do a clothing montage.
Yeah.
I will never do a clothing montage, but I'm going to put it to other people to do a clothing montage. I'm going to see how well that works.
Can you clarify a little bit what you're talking about?
When they have, you ever seen, movies where it's like, we're going to do a makeover, and then it's like...
And they all, going through the dressing room, all putting on different... Yeah.
They're trying different things on, and it's like...
So, girls just want to have fun?
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
But I alluded to possibly doing that when I was getting Ernst, the rat character in my comic, out of basically being naked.
Yeah, before the camping trip.
Yeah, I was just like, animals are just animals. They have fur. That's their clothing. And it's like, it's really hard to draw them humanized. It's a lot better if I can cover it all up underneath clothes.
Well, that's why Anthro gets such a bad rap all the time.
They're naked.
For that exact reason.
I don't know of any furry comics that are just naked.
Dude, even the very first Thundercats, there was naked characters in the very first Thundercats episodes. That's where it all started, man. Anthro.
Well, no, it's Looney Tunes, I guess. But
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bugs Bunny, that's 1930s.
That's what I guess I was thinking, but then it's like... I want to make it more humanized because the world of the comic, everything evolved into a humanoid form is basically how I explain things because people like explaining. But but basically, it's like I made a joke to it, and there was walking sticks available next to the changing room, and Fess made a comment about, hey, maybe we should do a clothing montage, and he's like, how about I beat you with this walking stick? But I think when I have Nemi get into something new, other than the tattered stuff that she's wearing, I'm going to ask the fans to do to submit stuff. So
for a clothing montage,
that'd be cool.
But I'd kind of want them to talk to me first, so I can tell them how she would react, so they can put that in there as well. They can do whatever they want. I'll say, but I want them to ask me of how Nemi would react and. And
I already have an idea for that.
If there's nudity, I'm going to be putting black bars up for the main strip, but I'll have the uncensored version in the bonus section. So
that's nice. And that's actually an interesting way to do guest art, because you can keep that in the main storyline. You don't have to, I've taken all of the guest art out of my main archive, which is mildly horrible, but I have a big link for the guest art that I'm going to put them all up in sequence, just like a regular webcomic. Mm-hmm. So they'll all be there. They'll all be readily available. But I was getting complaints that because I do have storylines, mm-hmm. that to have that broken up by a guest comic was, I guess, bothering people.
Yeah, that, so, that does. I've noticed that. When I was redoing the archive, I've shifted a few strips to have different numbers so they don't pop up at a really bad spot, but I try to keep everything in order as it happened.
Yeah.
What about you, T-Bowl? Did you end up getting any guest art?
I got, well, you know, the best guest art, I think, is when it comes out of absolutely nowhere left field, and it did happen, and it was really cool. If you go to my site and you go to the
bonus?
Yep, and you go to bonus, scroll down all the way to the bottom. One of those is it's under fan art. Mm-hmm. The left one is mm-hmm. from this guy named Negation, which is from he is the friend of the guy that does Spiky Hair Dragon, Worthless Knight. He's that
guy. Oh yeah.
He's that guy's friend. His name's Negation, and he made that after reading my comic just out of nowhere and sent it to me out of the blue.
That is cool. I got one of those too, I think, by Rosa something or other. She's on my host Zephyr.net as well, and it was like a really nice, I think, watercolor drawing. There was a few I got unsolicited, and that is always, I mean, they're not necessarily strips when you get them, they're art, but it is really nice to get that unsolicited thing. Of course, when you're really, really big, I'm sure it's hard for people to take notice and, you know, check everything that they get, of course.
Yeah. I did get some fan art. Part of it was through Hyatt Art Forums, where they have a fan art thread. I got one of my character, Amy, from Quinn Gillespie, who does Geek Blather, and one from Mark of Thinking Ape Blues, which is my favorite rendition of Janine and Amy. But I have to say the one I'm fond of most is David Wolf of Paranoia High did kind of a play on the Mary Jane Spider-Man costume thing with Janine that is mildly perverted and extremely hilarious. And currently the only way to my fan art page is through the sitemap, but I'll change that. I'm working on it.
I think we're running out of time here, though.
I couldn't imagine.
I can see how Webcomics Weekly just kind of like just rolls right along with more people. I should have more guests, guest hosts on, I think.
Let's just call.
I think it would make the topics more interesting.
Yeah.
So
get a little friendlier.
Yeah, we're gonna end up taking a break here. And coming back with the webcomic impressions, which are now being done by Aaron Edwards of Anatoly.com, I think. He does the webcomic Aaron's Desk in the Basement.
Is it
as well
Anatoly
as
or Anatoly?
However it sounds right, he says go with it.
Okay.
Just as long as people type it in right. But he shall be coming back. I think Diana is going to have another review for us as well. And oh, yes, and Witchy Bunny is now going to be announcing our webcomic milestones for everybody, and we kind of have a backlog, so she has a few to go over for the past few weeks. So, T-Bowl, or Aaron, thanks for coming with us on the show.
Thanks.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys later.
Later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And again, check out his webcomic at tbowlcomic.com. We're going to take one last quick little break here, and when we come back, we'll wrap the show up.
Would you like to get involved with the Beacon? Just send to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
with us tonight. We have Aaron from Aaron's Desk and Debasement. And let me just get you the link for that real quick. Anatalie.com. Anatalie.com. Or however it works for you to be able to type that in right. I say Anatalie, and that's how I remember it. And he does webcomic reviews, and he can get pretty foul-mouthed, but he's also fairly aggressive when it comes to actually giving his opinion on things. And he's going to give a hand at doing webcomic impressions for the Webcomic Beacon. And they're a bit calmer, I'd have to say. Maybe he's trying to hold back a little bit, but they are just impressions, so he's not looking too deeply into it. So how the deal is going to be, since I know people have been submitting webcomics for our impressions, that we have a backlog, and so we have a good start right now. People are always welcome to submit their impressions, mostly on young comics. I'm going to say mostly on young comics. I haven't talked to him as far as what he thinks, but so keep it as young comics for right now. Things over a year, I would kind of say maybe not, but I'll double check with him. But he's basically going to take one from our backlog and one of his own picks, and he's going to do two or three a week, and this week he has two. So give a listen to this, and we'll see you on the other side.
Let's hear some webcomic impressions.
Hello. For my first, let's go for Quitting Time by Michael Moss at quitting-time.com. This is a black and white newspaper style that follows journeyman Nate, who travels job to job suffering the degradation and toils that all we hourly types suffer. There's nothing really wrong with the art, writing, and premise beyond the limits of three-panel humor. And there's nothing really wrong with the web design beyond Comic Press's own navigation issues, namely finding the right archives to browse. I could go on about that shit for an hour. As it stands, there's some clever social satire, but it's terribly inconsistent as some jokes resolve before they're explored, and other themes are dragged out three strips beyond their potential. I always hope for a better sense of pacing about which lines to run and which to cut, so all in all, this wasn't very striking, especially when compared to newspaper types with more dynamic writing and sustained humor. Back with Xylia, XYLIA by B.L. Jacobs at XyliaTales.com. At 3 months old, you might have seen this one around, since it seems to be gathering quite a buzz. Comparable with The Broken Mirror, the art is upper tier and insists on full-color updates. Being rather new, certain features of the web design and navigation haven't filled out yet, though one would hope that a list-type archives is forthcoming, to say the least. At a simple browsing, the story seems a little convoluted, as a fallen medieval soldier, Claudius, is retrieved from death by the fairy Xylia, only to be seen next as a Dickens-esque boy, only to truly enter the story years later as a young man in modern England. So there's definitely a fair bit of skip-forward, dream sequence, and flashback, but nothing important is left unexplained. Seriously, anyone paying attention should be able to keep up. Watch out for Xylia, because as long as it doesn't hit a hiatus, this comic has a free float in every top list Jacobs feels like pressing.
So that's Aaron Edwards with Webcomic Impressions. And now, moving right along, we're going to have Witchy Bunny, our announcer. Witchy Bunny?
Yes?
I was hoping that you'd like to do the webcomic Milestones for us.
Certainly. This is Witchy Bunny from HiddenDisguises.com. To cover some of the milestones from the past few weeks, we have Planet Karen, which reached its 500th strip. Commissioned, which had reached its 1,000th strip. TNT, recently reached its 100th. Bitmap World also passed its 100th. And Multiplex, which is reaching its 200th. Congratulations on your milestones.
Those were the past few weeks' webcomic milestones, and I'm sorry we haven't been able to catch those lately. So If you know anything within about 2 weeks of a show happening, of the next show happening, basically that has hit a milestone, 100 comics, 200 comics, a year, 2 years, you know, things like that. Don't send us anything about page views, because that's always kind of sketchy about how you consider page views. But basically, the 100th X comic or the year X comic, let us know, and we'll be sure to mention it on our site. For right now, we're mentioning everything that pops up. I can't imagine it being too complicated in the future for it to be too much. But, you know, send those in to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And is that the show?
I think that's the show.
What is our topic for next week?
Next week is when we're doing the round table brainstorm session.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about that a little bit earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be next week. We're not entirely sure how that's going to go, but hey, you know, we're experimenting here. We're a young podcast, netcast, whatever. We are hosted on Zephyr.net, and I have to say, people that are listening to this, hopefully I've solved the problem as to why people were not being able to download the show entirely. And I believe it was because we're on a subdirectory. You stop rubbing the mic. we're on a subdirectory of my main site, which is using the htaccess protocol to mask it to put a different domain name there. So I've basically taken that out, so hopefully now the episodes are working fine with being downloaded from the very, very long URL. So hopefully that works. I mean, my host Zephyr was doing all that he could to figure out what the problem was. We really couldn't figure it out. It was so inconsistent, and people weren't really telling us many details about their operating system or the downloading program, their browser, or anything. So it really didn't help us a whole lot. But hopefully that works, and if you're still having problems, please let us know. And in the meantime, maybe use something called a BitComet. That has seemed to be working for those who have been using it. Also, we are members of thegeekmedia.com. It's really what it says, Geek Media. Podcasts, webcasts. There's this really funny WoW-created series called The Chronicles of the Annoying Quest, which is really hilarious, and I caught up with that. So, yeah, check out thegeekmedia.com for other geeky tidbits, podcasts, blogs, and whatnot, you know. I think that's all for the Beacon. Tanya, anything else to add?
No, I think we're good, and I'll stop rubbing the mic, and everything will be happy. No, we're good.
All right, awesome. we'll see you guys next week. This has been Fess.
And Tanya.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.